If you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Something was on my heart this week, and I feel led to look at it for our Bible study. And I also felt led to make an article out of it for our bulletin. And that something is this. There is no denying the fact. None whatsoever. There's no denying the fact that men and women either love God's sovereignty or hate God's sovereignty. When you get right down to the clear heart of it, there is no middle ground. When men and women don't understand it, it may appear to be some middle ground, but once it's really made clear, there is no middle ground. Either men and women love the fact that God elected a people to save, or they hate the fact that God elected a people to save. One of the two. There's no indifference to that subject. It's an extreme case, one way or the other. Either men and women love the fact that Christ has finished all the work. Everyone acknowledges some of the work. But either men and women love the fact that Christ finished all the work of salvation, or they hate the fact that Christ finished all the work of salvation. All of it. When that is very, very clearly set forth, men and women take hard sides on it. I want to really set this up. Hard sides on it. Those who love God's sovereignty cannot and they will not sit under the message of a weak, helpless Jesus who needs you to let him do something. They won't do it. They just will not do it. Those who love God's sovereignty, they hate that weak message. And at the same point in time, those who do not believe that God chose a people, they just flat don't believe that. They do not believe that God chose who he would save. And they do not believe that he will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. Rather than that, they believe that every man has a chance. That's what people believe. Every man has a chance. They believe that God owes every man a chance. Now, God owes every man a chance. Rather than salvation being totally of the Lord, salvation being of man. If he takes advantage of his chance. That's the kicker. He's got to take advantage of his chance. Those who believe that hate the message of God's unconditional election. They hate hearing that it was all in his hands. Do you remember the first time your mind started getting around that fact? That it was all in his hands. I grew up under the message of the truth. I never did sit under that. But I still had to come to terms with that. Even so, I remember really pondering like, whoa, you mean I have no say in the matter? I mean, it's just totally up to him. Either he did or he didn't. His will, his purpose, nothing of mine. I just have to wait and hear which one was it. Well, those who do not believe that God sovereignly chose a people and did everything he would do before the foundation of the world, they won't sit under that message. They will not. They just won't put up with it. They'll say, I'm not hearing this anymore. Those who are trusting in Christ's work alone will not tolerate the message of man's works. And those who are trusting in man's works will not tolerate the message of Christ's work alone. So there's a dividing line. No middle ground. No area of indifference between the message that glorifies God and the message that glorifies man. And this is what was really laid on my heart. I said all that to get to this. It all comes down to this right here. Those who love God's sovereignty and love God's election. Assess your heart right now. How do you feel about it? Those who love God's sovereignty and love God's election and love Christ's finished work of salvation. Those people have gotten a good look at their own sin. And those who do not love God's sovereignty and do not love God's election and do not love Christ's finished work of salvation have not gotten a good look yet at their own sin. That's what it all comes down to. That's the dividing line right there. Those people who know God, capital G, capital O, capital D, God. I mean God and love God. And bow to God. They have had a true reality dose of their sin revealed to them. And those who do not know the capital God and do not bow to the capital God have not. They just haven't. Once a man sees his own reign of himself, his own rule of himself. At some point, you know, at 18, the planet says we're adults now. So I'm ready to rule myself. I'm going to go out and reign over myself. And then we get out there and we see what we've done to ourselves. And once a man sees what his own rule of himself has done to himself, once he sees that he has ruined himself, once God reveals that, man doesn't know it until God reveals it. But once God reveals it and he sees how he himself has brought himself into utter destruction, this is what he will cry. If God reveals that to him, this is what he will cry. Sovereign Lord, reign over me. That's what he'll cry. My own reign has brought me into destruction and death. My own thoughts, my own ways, my own opinions, everything about me has brought me down. It just keeps bringing me farther from you and farther from you and farther from you. The world has just taken over. Far, so very far from God, I cannot farer be. Please reign over me. Reign over my will. Reign over my desire. Reign over my opinion. Reign over my thoughts. Reign over my deeds. Reign over me unto the redemption of life. Please, please, please. Once a man or a woman sees that if God did not elect a people to save, no one would be saved. Once a man sees that or a woman sees that, no one would be saved because nobody has earned it. Nobody deserves it. Once a man sees that, he'll cry, that election right there is my only hope. Thank God for election. Thank God. That's the most loving thing you ever did. Thank God. That you would send your son to me. Thank God. Once a man sees that he cannot, cannot do any work to save himself. I can't do anything. Watch this. I can't do that. I can't take my next breath. I can't take my next step. As soon as God says, stop walking, that's it. Stop breathing, that's it. Once a man sees that he is dead in trespasses and sins, this is what he'll cry. If Christ does not finish the work, it's not going to be finished. If His blood did not pay the debt is not going to be paid. That is what makes the difference in whether or not a person loves the truth of salvation or hates the truth of God's salvation for His particular people in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It all hinges on whether or not God has revealed that indescribable need to him because of his sin. The writer said, a sinner is a sacred thing. We take so for granted. We mean it. I'm telling you, we mean it. When we say, when this comes out of our mouth, I'm a sinner. I'm such a sinner. Woe is me. I'm such a sinner. When we say that, we take that for granted. Man can't say that and mean it unless the Holy Spirit has allowed him to. That is the gift of God. That's the gift of God. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. The Holy Ghost has revealed to him what he is in the nature of his own flesh. Sin. Now that's what was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And we know that because he said in verse 10, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Every sinner who has had his sin revealed to him and has had salvation through the finished work of the blood of Christ revealed to him, he will say, every one of them will say, I am what I am by the grace of God. By the grace of the sovereign, electing, redeeming, calling, keeping. Aren't you so glad he keeps his people in spite of his people? I'm so glad he chose us. I'm so glad he redeemed us. And I'm so glad he called us. But thank God he keeps us. Every one of God's people cry, thank God he paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For those of us who have had our sin revealed to us and have been caused to fall in love with the grace of God. And we are in love with the grace of God. I want us to see five things about it. I want us to read five scriptures. I'm going to be brief with them. But that'll tell us five things about the glorious grace of God. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn with me over there. 1 Peter 5, verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Here's the first thing. When we glory in the grace of God, we are glorying in the God of all grace. The God of all grace. That's His sovereignty in it. God is the God of all of it. All of it. Grace only comes from one source. The God of all grace. He is not just a gracious God. He is the only gracious God that there is. He is the God of all grace. He said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. He must be gracious to whom he'll be gracious because he's the only one who can. Only one. All grace is in his hands. If it's going to come, it's going to come from him. So what that means is we must approach his throne. We must go to him. We must cry out to him. Approach his throne to find mercy and grace to help in our time of need. He's the God of all of it. Okay, that's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Go with me back to the text, 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 10, it says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, not earned, bestowed upon. He said, it was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. The grace of God that was bestowed upon me. The grace of God is a gift. It's a gift. Grace means gift. People all over this world sing, all over this world, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Past tense. And then as soon as the song is over, they say, now, how can I earn that? What must I do to have that? Grace means gift. You must do nothing. It's already done. Grace is not earned. It's freely given. It's bestowed upon. Not have I gotten. I didn't get saved. Not have I gotten. What I received, grace has bestowed it. I just believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Saved by the free gift of God. That's the second thing. Here's the third. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 4 says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ. Grace is sovereignly given to a sinner by and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's grace is only found in Christ. Only in Christ. He's the only source. He's the only fountain. John 1 verse 17 says, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Turn with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. First Timothy 1, verse 14, it says, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That's where it is, in Christ Jesus. Second Timothy 1, verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then 2 Timothy 2, verse 1 says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So when it comes to grace, God is the God of all of it. It's a gift that He freely gives to His people. And that gift is only found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the fourth thing. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2, verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The grace of God is concerning what Christ accomplished in His death on the cross. That's what it's concerning. God's gift of grace can only be found in the person of Christ because it took what He accomplished on the cross for God to give it. God could not give grace had Christ not accomplished what He did for His people on the cross. And what did Christ accomplish? Paul said this is what He accomplished right here. Verse 20, Galatians 2, verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. That's what He accomplished. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself. He was the gift. Gave Himself for me. Union with Him. A complete, full payment of my debt to God in Him. That's what He accomplished in the giving of Himself, that gift. The last thing is really just a summary of it all. Turn with me over to Titus chapter 2. Titus 2 verse 11 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The grace of God that God is sovereignly over and freely gives in the person of His Son through the accomplishment of His cross, that grace is what brings salvation to every soul God gives it to. That's what God reveals to His people. Until that moment, everybody's trying to figure out, how do I save myself? What do I have to do? What do I have to stop doing? How does this grace of God thing work? How can I earn the free gift? And when God speaks the truth of His grace to a sinner, he sees that God sovereignly, freely gave it in His Son, through His accomplishment, and Christ alone earned and secured our salvation. Every soul who receives it then will say, I am what I am by the grace of God. All right, you're dismissed.